Welcome to the Gift of Gaming podcast, and on this week's episode, it's Marvel versus DC. All right, it's me, your host, Aaron Wade, and today I'm joined by the host with the most of the Switch Golf D3 Invitational himself, KP. KP, welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
No problem. You are in the process of getting yourself ready to move your whole life?
Yeah. Off to London now in T-minus 2 weeks. Getting very, very close. Just packing up the house. Packing all my life away into 5 cardboard boxes,
Jesus,
it turns out.
Yeah.
Well, I had a bit of a dilemma actually recently to tie in some gaming. How to travel my consoles? Do I put them in the cardboard boxes and hope that they arrive
in good nick,
or do I sacrifice suitcase space for like the PS5, the Switch, the portal?
I always laugh that Kev, when he went to New Zealand, I posted stuff ahead. I took a chance with my PlayStation 4 at the time. I remember when I got to New Zealand, I had the PlayStation 4 packed away, ready to be posted, and just asked my mum or dad just to send it over. It arrived just fine, sent it back the same way, got home just fine before I came back, but a risk. But I love that Kevin, you know, on the other side of the world, would have to come home, and he only have like, what, one suitcase, whatever else. PS5 was going in there no matter what, like, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do the same. Yeah.
Because I was lucky that nothing got wrecked in the post, but it could have easily just gotten absolutely destroyed.
Yeah, you see, the cardboard boxes are just being turfed into the back of a big cargo truck as well. So yeah, I'm just like rattling and everything.
Yeah, and people don't really care what's in them. They're just doing their job.
Getting tossed. You could say the same for the suitcase handlers in the airport, but hopefully. I'm taking the ferry. You'll be fine. I'm handling my own suitcase.
You just toss it around. So you got what? You got a PlayStation and a Switch to bring?
Yeah.
Is that your console's collection?
I'll probably box away the PS Portal as well, because I won't be able to play it while I'm traveling.
You have nothing to connect it to.
No.
Such is the way.
But I did get to use it actually recently. I went over to visit the apartment in London, get the keys, just kind of get a few bits and pieces sorted. And I left this is the first time I used the Portal away from my own home.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Worked well?
Worked really well.
Nice.
It worked really, really well. I found a good Reddit thread where people were just like, this is the best way to optimize your experience, you know, Ethernet cable, a whole lot, and like different settings. But obviously you're very reliant on the quality of the Wi-Fi in the location that you're in. And it turns out the apartment we're in has banging Wi-Fi.
Oh, you love to hear it.
Yeah, so I was playing, what was I playing on it? I was playing like Dragon Age Veilguard, which is like quite a big game to be playing on that. Worked really, really well. And then I gave Marvel Rivals Topical a crack. Not as like as a live game. It's not like, it wasn't amazing.
And
like,
it's super competitive as well.
Super competitive, but I didn't play ranked. So I was just fucking spraying bullets around having a good time.
Yeah.
It was fun, but it was the tiniest of delays, but I was still able to get like kills and actually do the things I was trying to do.
It took me a while to get it kind of fixed, but I think I have an Ethernet cable into the PlayStation 5 here, so it's wired. And I think the what they say is you're better off connecting to a 2.4 on the Portal than a 5. Although the 5 is stronger, the 2.4 is more stable, they say. But I've brought it to a couple of places and I've had a blast. But it was such a surprisingly good piece of kit.
Yeah.
Like when they say, it can only remote play your PlayStation 5 games. And remote play already existed on tablets, your laptop, whatever. But it is the definitive way to remote play your PlayStation 5. And since they brought out the update that you can just, even if your PlayStation 5 was off, you can go cloud gaming on your own profile.
The streaming side
People have said it's great. So I'm like, that was a surprisingly, I took a bit of a punt on that one when it came out, being like, this could be another Stadia situation. I could embarrass myself here. I've loved it, man. Even for like, I know it's great to have on trips away, but I've really enjoyed here in the apartment.
Oh, yeah, just take it to bed or whatever.
Take it to bed.
Like,
yeah.
So, doing like, the exact same thing. Now, the only thing is though, when I was doing that, I think the quality of Wi-Fi in my home is like not good. It doesn't support it whatsoever.
You had a better experience.
I had a better experience being abroad
in London.
Yeah. The graphics, everything was clearer. It was crisper. What was I trying to play when I was at home? To be honest, I can't even remember. But it was dreadful. It was really, really dreadful. But then I started playing The Last of Us on the cloud aspect, and that was far better.
Yeah, because I think the cloud games are, because you're basing that off their servers and providing you just have a decent connection where you are, I think it's always a good show, which is nice. And I was going to say, I haven't actually had you on the podcast since they announced it. Are you interested in a Switch 2?
Yes. I am. Yeah. Mm. At first I was a little bit, not like hesitant per se, but I just thought the price point of the games was a little bit
That's still out there. That people are still, that's still rumbling, you know?
But I know I want to play Mario Kart and I know I want to play Donkey Kong and I know Tara wants to play them as well.
Yeah.
So I think between us,
you're going to have a nice time.
Yeah,
and I think it is funny because the whole thread on the pricing now is how the rest of like, you know, Xbox and PlayStation users, how we're all fucked, because if Nintendo's going to charge 80, is it 80 quid for the digital and 90 quid for the physical?
Yeah.
If they're doing that for Mario Kart, you can be guaranteed we're paying over 100 quid for the base version of Grand Theft Auto 6.
100, and again, any kind of AAA release after that is going to
be... We're fucked, that's it. Like, yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because I looked at I think it was an article or it was just like talking about inflation or, you know, what €50 was worth 10 years ago, what it's worth now type thing. And it's the kind of thing where we're still paying in or around the same thing with the...
Okay.
I mean, that's what they say.
Yeah, it doesn't feel
it's
that way.
No, it still hurts, man. Ask me to pay like 90 or 80. Because I'm a physical copy of... Like, games that I love, I would always try to get the physical copy of. So for like the likes of Mario Kart, I'd love to. But the idea that I'm going to pay €90 for a Mario Kart game is astronomical. Like,
yeah, it's a big ask. It makes me think about it. I used to not think so much when I was getting a game, but I really do.
Now I'm going to pick one between two if the situation arises. And the interesting thing is as well is that in classic Nintendo fashion, that game's never going to go down in price.
It's such a funny thing that they do, to be fair. You know, like, I was a bit like, can you respect it? Like, I don't really respect it too much, but anyway, it's what they're doing. And it does work because, like, I got the Switch way after release. Like, I got it a couple of years down the line and I still paid full price for like
the all the games and the Switch itself. I think the only time it came down in price is when they introduced the Switch Lite.
The purely handheld
one was like a cheaper option, but I think, you know, up until fairly recently, unless like Smith's or Curry's or wherever it was doing a sale, you were still paying the standard fucking price for, which is crazy. So I'm not looking forward to how expensive games are going to become. But
I do think the price of the console itself is like relatively reasonable. Like,
yeah, I was kind of hoping it's 450, right?
Yeah.
I was hoping for the 400 mark, but given what it can do, I respect the 450. The only thing was the PlayStation 5, 500?
500, that's what I paid, yeah. Now I only have the digital version, I don't know if the...
But let's say, so the cheapest version of the PlayStation 5 you could get is 50 quid more expensive than the Switch 2.
Yeah.
That to me, when I say that out loud, I'm like, oh, fuck.
There's a big difference in processing power there. And like
there. In terms of what you can play and everything. Yeah. So it's, I don't know if Nintendo are just like, we need to make money back on this or what the situation is. But it's also fucked all the tariffs and everything like that have fucked Nintendo in Canada and America. They've like halted pre-orders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they're probably going to come out with a new price based off the... Like, if we're complaining about it costing $450, I think the rumors or the ripples are that over in the States or potentially Canada, but especially in the States, you're probably going to pay close to $600 for the Switch.
A big ask for a Switch.
And if you think that's bad, like, imagine what you'd probably pay game-wise then as well. Maybe they'll be able to keep the game price as standard, I don't know, based on the tariffs. But yeah, imagine paying... Like, if you wanted the Nintendo Switch 2 and Mario Kart World over in the States, you're talking $700 for
easy,
that. Which was close to the cost of a PlayStation 5 Pro, you know?
Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, I don't envy them.
What
there.
A time to be alive.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But we're here to talk about Marvel versus DC games.
Yes, indeed.
And I suppose for our listeners, KP, have you grown up a Marvel man or a DC fella?
That's a good question. I would say when I was younger, the cartoons I watched were probably more Marvel. The kind of X-Men early cartoons and Spider-Man in particular. But then I was always a fan of the Batman ones as well. So I'd say I kind of split my viewing of whatever. If it was on, I was watching it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. As a kid, it was like, if it's animated, give it to me. And in terms of game-wise, games have you...
Again, like, I think there is probably more games on the Marvel side that I've played, but I think the best games that I've played are on the DC side.
Mm.
So I think, like, it's a funny one with, like, people always got, like, Marvel versus DC. I just want good content.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think just, like, on the variety of games that get released, I've probably leaned more into Marvel than DC, I would say.
Yeah. So for myself, I was never a DC person. I love the animated Batman TV shows. Yeah, thought they were great, like, you know. Yeah. But comic book wise, I was always a Marvel guy. Never really dipped into DC at all. There was a great comic book series, funny enough that we're doing this episode, but there was a great comic book series called Marvel versus DC, where they came together and the middle pages, so like the spread, the middle spread was all the matchups. Mm-hmm. So it was Captain America versus Bane. Nice. Oh God, I kind of Batman probably versus, I don't know, Hawkeye, whatever the mixes were. But then they, you would get throughout the comic short battles, and you know, illustrated in comic book fashion between these different bouts and stuff. And I love that. And I mean, I love that because I was like, it was cool to see Captain America fight, because all the comic books I would have read weren't so much the Avengers stuff. I was more reading the Captain America pre-Avengers, so him in World War II, Red Skull, Bucky, and all that kind of stuff. But it was cool to see him fighting different enemies that weren't the classics. But I think I was always a Marvel guy. Yeah. And I think TV show-wise, I mean, the original X-Men TV show, unreal piece of work. Yeah. We were blessed to get that new X-Men 97.
So good. Recaptured that very, very well. Yeah,
that was cool. Really enjoyed that show. But I think I was always a Marvel man. And when it came to video games, I got a massive list together of Marvel, like highly rated Marvel and DC games. And I kind of went through it. And I've definitely dipped my toe into way more Marvel games than I have DC. The first thing that I noticed is kind of what I want to start with is game-wise, There are two leading characters for Marvel, and then one leading character for Marvel and one for DC.
Okay.
Can you guess who the most who has the most games for Marvel superhero wise?
I'd say Spider-Man.
Bang on. And for DC?
Batman.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The DC side of it's quite telling with their like lack of, I suppose, trust to
go with anybody else.
For anyone else. When you look at the list, it's quite...
Like, I went down, the only person, there was, what have I got? There's Catwoman, the game, which I think was based off
the
movie, which was,
Not
great. Then there was Superman Returns.
Again, that was the movie tie-in as well.
Not great. And then Green Lantern Rise of the Manhunters, which I think...
The other movie tie-in. Yeah.
And aside from that, the only ones that I can see that kind of contain anybody outside of Batman are the Injustice games that would have included
I think as well,
the Motley Crue.
In the early 2000s, there was an Aquaman game, which is...
Good grief.
Which is apparently, not tied into any movie because we didn't get those like Jason Momoa bits till way later. And it, by all accounts, is not only the worst kind of like superhero game that's been made, but it's in the contention for worst game ever. It's just diabolical. I watched some gameplay on YouTube. It's so bad. Yeah.
It's gas, because I think I've always kind of felt this. I think when we look at, let's say, Marvel versus DC, the Avengers team to me is far more interesting than the Justice League.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the characters that they have, like The Flash. I don't know how you'd make a video game about The Flash.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well. Like, only if you'd like could use his powers for short bursts, but then it just kind of nerfs him as a character in general. Like
Superman's always a tough,
impossible. Like I know they've done a few, and particularly with the movie tie-ins as well. But like, he's just too OP.
Way too OP.
Unless you set the game in Krypton, that's the only way.
Yeah.
I could see that
outside
working.
Of Earth, he's maybe got a decent game. But you have, just off the top of your noggin, a favorite Marvel game. We'll kick it off with Marvel, actually. Do you have a favorite Marvel video game that you've kind of played recently or from way before?
I've got quite a few, but like, to give one, I suppose, a shout out that I don't think... It didn't sell particularly well, but it reviewed well, was there was a Guardians of the Galaxy game from 2021.
Yeah.
Which I think is available to
it's
download.
It's on, if you have
PS
the middle tier thing, when you get the game catalog, it's on that. I have it like download or saved to my library, but not downloaded just yet.
The topic for this podcast, it got me like to go back and play it, basically, because I had a few other games downloaded that I wanted to jump back into, like kind of superhero ones. But I knew I loved playing Guardians of the Galaxy when it came out. So I went back and jumped back into it there. And it's an absolute banger of a game.
Yeah.
It just happened to not sell too well, so it doesn't really get remembered.
And I think one of the things it struggled with when you're up against what was a decent trilogy of a movie, that all the characters weren't... It wasn't Chris Pratt's Star-Lord. It wasn't...
Oh, no. It's its own standalone comic book, like... game.
Which I appreciated more than just the movie.
They don't lean into the movies at all. The only thing, you can change your skins. I'm playing New Game Plus, so I have all the skins and everything.
From the movies, yeah.
So yeah, you can make him wear the clothes, but it's still like the face and everything. It's not Chris Pratt. But as its own like story, like the narrative is absolutely excellent in the game. And it did win Best Narrative at the Game of the Year Awards, but that was the dud year where it takes 2-1.
Yeah.
Take that with a pinch of salt, but it's still an excellent game on its own.
Yeah.
And I would recommend to anyone to play it, particularly if you have the subscription to download it for free.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it's in my backlog, like the to-do list, but one of the games that really surprised me, and I think it's super addictive and it's just so well designed. Did you ever play Marvel Snap, the mobile game?
No, I saw every ad for it though. Like, that game was so heavily advertised on YouTube in particular, but I just never got into it.
It was, and I still is. I often debate whether or not I should re-download it and play it, but it was one of those things that sucked a lot of time. And it's kind of one of the first mobile games that I've ever sat with and said, I absolutely love this, because you can, you know, customize your deck into your playstyle with certain characters, and they'll have various. And it literally is like it's great in terms of the battles are a couple minutes long tops. Like when you're playing against other people, it's a real dip in and dip out type thing. But I love the artwork. I love that you could upgrade the cards, and by upgrading the cards, you got different artwork on the card. Like, as a Marvel fan, looking at all the old school outfits for some of the, like, just really, really good, and took me wildly by surprise with how good and how addictive it was. But I'm surprised that I'm on the podcast saying that one of my favorite Marvel games was a mobile game, because I am not a mobile game user at all. I have zero time for them whatsoever. But Marvel Snap was, whatever loop they developed for that, does just nice things for my brain, like in terms of I could just go and go and go, like, you know.
Do you play against other people, or is it just
yeah it's all competitive, so it's all just throwing you in against, you know, anybody else, and it's so satisfying because you affect the other players. Like, the whole point of the game is that you're affecting other players' cards all the time, to make the value of your cards increase versus theirs. And once you've filled up all the spots, then it's a count of who has the most points at the end. But it got really intricate, like with some cards, and I remember playing against some people who had a collection of cards put together that I was like, that's actually what they've managed to do. Like, the thought process that's gone into their strategy, I was like, that's pretty cool, you know? Yeah. And I never got so in-depth as to come up with, I just always wanted to pick Captain America. Like, regardless of what thing was, I had to have him on my, I upgraded him as far as I could, and I had to have him on my team. But cracking game, surprisingly so. I was just blown away by it.
There's so much content out there, to be fair, that can be, it was nice to see like a mobile game be so successful as well, because I think that's one thing Marvel in general are doing that's kind of just blowing DC out of the water, is that there is such variety there for everyone to kind of play some form of superhero game that they like, whereas DC seem to be kind of, you know, pigeonholing themselves a little bit and only seem comfortable releasing content around the Bat family or Batman's kind of.
And anytime they have gone gone against the grain and tried to, like with Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. Trying to make it a live action game or live service game, it just never seemed to work for them. They really struggle without, and Batman's a villain in it, I think.
Yeah.
Well, a villain by their standards. They have to kill the Justice League.
Yeah.
You know, who knew? But I remember seeing, there was nothing about that game that sold it for me. I remember being quite excited, like, maybe this is the DC game I'll get into, like live service, maybe they're doing it well. And they showed a clip of the Suicide Squad, like, traversing the, would say, open world or the big area, and I was like, oof, not for me.
A massive downgrade from what you saw in like the earlier Arkham series. I know it's meant to be Arkham Universe, and Rocksteady obviously developed it, so I think a lot of people had high hopes going into it, even though did anyone ask for a Suicide Squad game?
So it's
like,
they're
probably trying to capitalize on the release of the films that were like okay.
And but it's the best that DC had to offer at that stage, because I think everything that DC was bringing out up to that point movie wise was kind of flopping, really, wasn't it?
I think it's this whole, like, again, like I just want good content. I don't really mind if it's Marvel or DC, but like Marvel in every stretch of the world for like the last 10-15 years has just been blowing DC out of the water.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, Marvel's got a lot of duds of late, like the quality has slipped definitely since, let's say, Endgame. But yeah, for DC, coming out with the Suicide Squad and then making the games, I was like, well, this could work potentially, but it really, like, when you think of it being Rocksteady or in the Arkham series, but you think about the original, like the true trilogy of the Arkham games, yeah. There's just nothing. Like, I don't know if DC has come up with anything better than, I mean, I've got a couple of, what have I got listed down here of the games that I remember playing and really enjoyed. I mean, it's very different, but I remember I was into Injustice, Gods Among Us and Injustice 2. And there's so few DC games I've played.
See, this is the problem with it, because like if you look at the last, let's say like the last like 10, 15 years since we've kind of, like, the Arkham series set the bar, in my opinion. Like, it, like, Arkham Asylum is probably the first triple A superhero game that, like, you know, single story, action adventure, open world style, and that really did set the bar, and the rest of the series kind of followed that. But then that the last game in that series was Arkham Knight in 2015, and Rocksteady didn't make anything, or in general DC made nothing for about like nine odd years.
Yeah,
and in between the release of Arkham Knight and Kill the Justice League, I think there was like maybe like two.
There was
three.
The Injustice games.
Injustice 2.
Yeah. But we're very different.
There was that Gotham Knights game, which was so
God. Which, like, when they, there was a great comparison that I remember. I can't remember which YouTuber did it, but I watched part of it. And they stood Batman in from Arkham Knight was the last one, was it?
Yeah.
They had him standing on the pier in Gotham City at the water.
Yeah.
And the graphics, like, for a game that was, what, 2015?
Yeah.
Looked phenomenal. Yeah. And then they had Gotham Knights, and they had whoever they were playing as in that standing,
I think it was Batwoman. Yeah, Batwoman. I think I've seen the same.
In the same area in Gotham City, and it looked so trash.
Yeah,
like, and
really
it's weird
bad.
Because, don't get me wrong, the graphics in some ways in Gotham Knights are superior to Arkham Knights, but it's the style Arkham Knight has chosen to go with. It all works really, really well. Whereas I saw that thing being like, how have we come so far from what worked?
Yeah, because it's so strange, because like they clearly set like DC, Warner Brothers, and obviously using Rocksteady to like set the standard with the Arkham series, and then they had the blueprint there. They knew what people liked because these games were so successful, and then they just spun away from it and stopped producing games of that quality. And then Insomniac comes roaring in, makes the Marvel Spider-Man games, and like literally, like, you can see how much the Spider-Man game was influenced by the Arkham series.
Yeah.
And it's so clearly, and Marvel have just like taken their blueprint, basically enhanced it, and are now just churning out quality games at a rate. Like if you look at what's coming out as well, like, you have an Iron Man game that's due to drop, you have a Black Panther game that's due to drop,
there's
as
a
well.
Captain America Black Panther,
there's a standalone Black Panther.
I keep forgetting that,
and then there's the Captain America and Black Panther one.
Yeah,
there's so many in the pipeline as well, where and they're all obviously going to be these expansive like AAA games, going to be unreal. DC have cancelled the only one they had in the pipeline, being Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
So like this like kind of war that they're in is so one-sided.
I think it comes, and I don't want to be too unfair to DC, because I think a lot of it comes down to the company that you're kind of forced to work with when it comes to a video game scenario. So this is, you know, all DC is owned by Warner Brothers, right?
Yeah.
Whereas Marvel is owned by Marvel. In terms of,
yeah, and I think they're under like the subsidiary of like Disney or something as well.
Of course, Marvel is owned by Disney, but the games, like the companies that they're working with for their games, like Avengers, that live service game that was kind of a flop, went to Square Enix, which would be a big company. And it's weird. The one thing I will say about that is Square Enix are great for their narrative-based single-player games. Yeah. They had no right to be making a live-service Avengers game.
I think they actually did the Guardians Galaxy game that was mentioned
as well.
I think they did that as well.
Because I'm glad they were able to, because that one is more, though, single-player narrative-based, isn't it?
Much.
There's not
that's
a multiplayer aspect
to it. That's
why it's
so good. I think like the standard's been set that like the live-service thing isn't working for video games, except for Marvel Rivals, which is obviously a kind of
but
different
it's,
thing
but
being
it has to be a, it has to be a certain type of game for it to be able to work as live service. And I think we've definitely discovered that the superhero team up isn't the
I think as well where we're kind of touching on it there slightly, like Marvel seem to have a level of comfort trusting different developers and studios with their IP, whereas Warner Brothers
keep going back
to Rocksteady, which they basically, they've put them under. Like Rocksteady is no longer the same company. No. Like the founding members are all gone. So like, it's not the same crew. It's just not the same. And they left on the tail end of Kill the Justice League. And then Warner Brothers Montreal is the other studio that they seem to like using. But they've made Arkham Origins, which people in general would say is
the worst of the Arkhams.
It's actually not too bad, but it's definitely the worst of the Arkhams. But then they also made Gotham Knights. So like they've made two games that are relatively considered duds. Do you know what I mean? Or they are duds. But then like obviously Marvel are trusting so many different people with their IP, and it's just like it's obviously working for them. And
like Rivals in terms of, from an art style, Marvel Rivals in terms of an art style and the type of game that it is and how well made it is, like as a man who's like very much competitively playing that, super satisfying game to play.
Really fun. Yeah.
And it's interesting that could have, I would say just as easily, maybe not, because maybe DC isn't in the peripheries as many people as Marvel would be based on the cinematic universe that Marvel's created. Yeah. But like Rivals could have been done, it could have been DC Rivals just as easily, do you know what I mean? And they're not, I don't think they're not explorative enough, but they're definitely like, we want, it just seems to be all, and of course their business, so they have to do it, but it seems to be all guided by what's the maximum amount of profit we can make from this thing, and it all comes back to live service. That seems to be the recipe. Yeah. If you have a successful live service game, it's a money racket, do you know what I mean?
But I was listening to an interview with the CEO of Warner Brothers, like David he sounds like a Bond villain. It's like David Zasloff, you know, like Ernst Blofeld. he seems to be kind of like steering it in that direction, and he's been known to cite like all the success of like GTA Online or the success of like the Call of Duties and all this sort of stuff, and it's like, yeah, but like they're like exceptions to the rule. Like this does not always happen.
They've existed in our world for quite a long time before they became the monsters that they are. So like Call of Duty had this like well and truly tested recipe that people loved, that they then just pushed into a live service battle royale scenario. Same with GTA, like that, you just made that thing that everyone loves so much into a multiplayer game essentially. But DC hasn't got, there's no game that they've been working with for so long. And I say the same about Marvel, because I just don't think live service in that regards is working for them. There's no recipe to go with that you could say that would work as a,
the only one they could have done, it kind of annoys me that Warner Brothers didn't think of doing this, because the game's released super close to each other. It's like, again, it absolutely just breaks my heart that they basically torpedoed Rocksteady and we're probably not going to get a continuation in the Arkham series. But like the Hogwarts Legacy released super close to Kill the Justice League. Like, why didn't you do the live service model there? Because you have a far wider range of audience. Yeah. Like a lot of people who'd be like maybe more casual. Like I know people who bought that game on the Switch because they wanted to play it so badly.
Oh, that would have been rough.
But that's how big of fans of Harry Potter. They probably only had a Switch to play like, you know, the Overcooked.
I can play a Hogwarts. And you and me played that. And I know Craig brought us back down to earth when we reviewed the game. And you can check that episode out if you want to. But I enjoyed, and still, I know it wasn't as good a game as my brain was telling me during the play, but I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah.
And the idea that I could have just gone, because you kind of customize your wizard as you go, or your witch as you go along, and there's an open world aspect to it, but the idea that you could have made that a live service.
Yeah.
You know, I think Legacy would have needed a better backdrop from a story perspective as to what you're all wizarding for, do you know what I mean?
They definitely need to increase the number of like nemesis.
As an IP for a live service, it would have worked way better than the likes of the Suicide Squad.
It would have sold really, really well. Like the live service aspect of it would have definitely dropped off. Like there's no doubt about it. People wouldn't have kept coming back to it. Because like I don't know why your man David Zaslav, like he seems to think that model is going to work for them, but there's no proof in the pudding.
Sony, and I think it is that if you can make gold your set, and like if you look at the Fortnites, the GTAs, like those games have cracked it, and they're, and like the thing about them all is that I'd say they're brilliant fun, they're well made, And it's making those companies an absolute bomb. And I think everybody's looking at all the other companies are looking at that and saying, that's what I want.
Yeah.
But you can't just say, I'm making a live service game. There has to be there needs to be a better concept out there for those. Because yeah. Sony has come out and said, I mean, we covered it before. I don't know if you remember Concord, which is kind of like a Guardians of the Galaxy knockoff kind of group.
I don't think so.
But Concord was brought out, was this, Sony did it, and they were like, live service game, here we go. It's called Concord. And it was essentially a rip of Guardians of the Galaxy in terms of the team all had aspects of the Guardians of the Galaxy team in them.
Okay.
But they were putting so much effort into this live service game that they were like, every month we will release because there's a story throughout this whole thing. They were going to release a new episode, like animated episode of what the characters are doing and leading into the next season or whatever it might have been, which was a huge amount of work. But I was like, you guys need to get off that horse and make sure the fucking game that you're making is good fun, that people actually want to play it. And it lasted a month, and not only did they stop putting money into the idea of making battle passes, they canned the game. They pulled it from everywhere.
Not
ideal. Now people are looking, like, I've seen pictures up on Reddit of people finding physical copies of Concord out in the wild, being like, if I hold on to this, will it be worth a huge
game? Yeah.
Because it's gone. You can't, like, I didn't download Concord before, so I can't download it now. Like, it doesn't exist in the. They spent millions, tens, if not hundreds, you know, definitely tens of millions making this game. And that's what I mean. This whole chasing the dragon for a live service game, like, you guys are going to just bankrupt yourselves doing that.
I do think if they try to adopt what Marvel Rivals has done, that's the way to go. Like, PvP is clearly what people are asking for, because it's so spontaneous, and like releasing a new season, new characters every couple of months,
and competitive fresh. As you said, like, the costumes, I think that's the part of the superhero genre that people are really into. I think when you talk about the simplicity of Marvel Rivals, that it's just a competitive PvP, but like, oh, but I can make the character who I play as look like Chris Pratt's Star-Lord, or I can, and it's the thing as well, like, I was quite disappointed with Captain America skins, and I'm still disappointed with the Captain America skins that have come out. Like, none of them have been, I'm waiting for the Winter Soldier version of them, that kind of stuff. But like, that's what you want. Like, that's what you should be doing if you want to do this constant, like, live service. This idea of, and I really was hoping it would work when they brought out the Squaresoft's Avengers, or Square Enix's Avengers. Because to me, the idea of there being like a big old overarching narrative that you're all playing for, and you hop onto a team of like three or four of you all playing as the superheroes. I mean, maybe just make that like a normal start to finish game and don't have it as a live service. Just have it as a
co-op.
The Guardians of the Galaxy, but make this a four-player co-op thing and get your money that way. But the idea, and that's the thing as well, you waste so much money and so many IPs just go away then when you fail them and if you scrap them like that. But yeah, such a pity. But speaking of, because we kind of went on a bit of a tangent there, but we were talking about Spider-Man, and it's interesting to me. I think there's certain superheroes in the world, be it DC or Marvel, who translate incredibly well into gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
And Spider-Man is a swinging superhero when you're given an open world kind of map, like, is it New York that Spider-Man's in?
Yeah. It works perfectly.
Unbelievable.
It works absolutely perfectly. And it's New York to a T. I think I've said this before, but like, that game is, like, it maps New York literally perfectly. Like, I've walked around New York a bit. I spent a bit of time there, and I've gone to lesser known areas. Let's say like not like your Times Squares, but like streets that I've walked, and like, it's them. Like, it's properly them. Like the pubs mightn't have the same signs,
of course,
but like the numbers of buildings, the shape, sizes, everything. Like, it is New York. It's an amazing job that was done there.
Yeah, and I just, like you said, it's taken what worked the most with the DC games in terms of Batman, the Arkham series, the combat's fun. And I, like, it's just that, like, I can't believe that, because Marvel Spider-Man came out, the first one, before the Suicide Squad, right?
Yeah, that was 2018, the first one came out.
So you look at that and you kind of say to yourself, here's what works.
Yeah.
But we're going to go off and do something entirely. And I would say, you know, the Marvel's idea with the Avengers was completely off key as well. It was like, yes, that might, maybe if your loop is so well designed, maybe something like the Marvel Avengers as a team-up thing could work as a live service, but they just don't, and they haven't, and they won't, I don't think. I can't imagine a team-up thing like that going through a big narrative. I can't imagine them having enough to be able to constantly bring out to keep people on board. Like, I probably would have gotten that Avengers game, finished the initial story,
yeah,
and said, that's kind of all I need of that.
That's what I did. I finished the story. The story was fun. Like, it was. Yeah. Like, I know the game, like, when you look back at it, it probably wasn't received as well as expected, but I don't think it was, like, the biggest disappointment.
No,
ever,
but yeah. I think from Square Enix's point of view, I think it was a flop. So, me and Craig, as massive, and Kev, as massive Final Fantasy fans, were quite worried when Square Enix brought out their reports, because just before... or just after Remake, Final Fantasy VII Remake came out, we knew that, like, the budget for that was unlimited almost in terms of what they put into it. And we were very happy waiting for Final Fantasy VII Remake. And then they made, Square Enix came out and made Avengers, and it flopped for them, and it cost them a lot of money. And we were like, shit, is that going to affect Rebirth when it comes out? So I know Square Enix was like, this has cost us like, you know, tens of millions. Like, they didn't make a profit from Avengers at all, like, not even close. So I think it cost them a lot of money. But the risk, that's what I mean. It's a risk you take when you're trying to do, because I wonder how much more expensive it is to maintain a live service game than it is to just create a start to finish and see where you go.
Well, I suppose you've got the staff already there, and you're probably just like patching bits in as you go. Like, so it's probably way cheaper in the long run for them. I suppose that's probably why Warner Brothers are trying to go that way, probably save a buck, you know. It's a shame, but it's cool to see, like, what I suppose Marvel is doing as well. Like, with the success of Marvel Spider-Man, it seems to be like they're creating their own kind of like extended gaming universe, because it does sound like Spider-Man will tie into the Wolverine universe. I do think
I love that idea.
And you'll probably see others, like, there's that Iron Man to come, the Iron Man game to come out, the Black
Panther. They're kind of making their own Marvel video game universe.
It's what it seems like. Yeah, it seems to be leaning that way. And, like, maybe in the background, DC are doing something similar. It's just like, I was trying to see, is there anything in development for them, and it just seems like there isn't.
It's really, really quiet, and it's a pity about the Wonder Woman game, because people's impressions were, and we've talked about loads in the podcast, but the Nemesis system was supposedly being brought back for the Wonder Woman game, but that's been cancelled, so now we never know. But on that, in terms of things coming out, and not that we'll get into movies for too long, but do you think this new James Gunn Superman that seems to be a bit more colourful, and we might be stepping away from the Zack Snyder grim DCU, do you think it can get a reboot? Or do you think DC is kind of left a bad... Because I think all the idea of there being video games based off these superheroes seems to be playing off the success that the movies seem to be having.
Yeah, I think there's like an opportunity for it. Like, I would hope so. You know, like, we've got a lot of DC content coming up in terms of the big and smaller screen. Like, there's lots of stuff I want to watch. There's that Green Lantern Corps, like, that looks absolutely amazing. I'm hoping there will be a game. It doesn't have to directly tie into it, but hopefully, like, that'll rejuvenate people's, you know, want for these characters.
Desire to be like, I forgot about that guy. Yeah, I'd love to play.
Exactly. So, like, hopefully it does. But I was reading as well, like, apparently James Gunn's actually involved in the game side of it as well.
Interesting.
And the idea being, and I don't like this as an idea, but apparently the games that we will potentially see in the future will be canon for the
movies,
the universe that he's creating, which I'm not the biggest fan of.
Does that hog tie them into having to go a certain direction?
Yeah, because, like, you know, and again, going back to the Arkham series, but, like, there was decisions made with certain characters not to kill off certain characters that you would never, like, spoiler alert, but it's your fault if you haven't played them. But, like, killing off the Joker, you won't see that in James Gunn's universe, I would doubt, because, like, he's such an important character. People love to see him, so they'll keep him alive in it. So, like, you could be playing a game with him in it as the villain. You know, there's nothing on the line here. He will survive.
He's gonna survive. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah,
I'm not the biggest fan of if that's what they choose to do. And, like, James Gunn can make an amazing movie. I'm sure he can make amazing TV. I don't know if that translates to making
video games,
fantastic video games.
Yeah.
So if he's gonna be overseeing this entire universe, hopefully it works out, because he seems to have been a big reason of why Marvel did so well. Like, it's him.
Well, the Guardians of the Galaxy, he did the trilogy, and I have to say, although I'm not a big fan of the second one, the third movie was a great film.
Yeah.
You know, and full of what I miss from the Marvel movies, of like, full of that emotion, that kind of like, let's stop making this a real slapstick and let's actually get a bit serious about some things. So I think, and like I said, Superman looks quite fresh as well. So we'll wait and see. But yeah, you're right. They're going to hogtie themselves into a corner if they canonize the video games to the new universe.
But hopefully, again, like, I really do want it to work out, because it's a win-win for me, basically. You know, like, if I get these great movies and then also great, maybe not necessarily tie in the games, but if more content gets released, more AAA games, just give them to me. Yeah. I'm happy to play.
And it's funny the kind of, I would say, at least from my own experience, the switch that's happened with DC and Marvel. Like growing up, there was a Batman Forever game on the Super Nintendo that was unbelievably good. Mm-hmm. Unbelievably difficult now, I guess, but I was quite young at the time. But it was mo-capped. So the characters were, you know, their movements were quite silly. Like they had like to put their hands up for boxing type thing and getting into fights. But it was an incredible looking game and had great levels of customization. So one person would play as Batman, player two would play as Robin, and you'd customize your loadout before you went into whatever. Like you'd be in the circus, or I think they were kind of loosely based off maybe the films that had been out in around the time. Like how old is, well, maybe they're not. Maybe Batman Forever was before some of the films. George Clooney Batman.
Late
was that 90s the circus?
Early 2000s.
Early 2000s. Well, this is probably older, in fairness. We're probably talking late 90s that I would have been playing Batman Forever. But really cool, enjoyable. And for such an old game, a really, really good... Like, it looked incredible for the time. Whereas I think of there's... what was the... I think I have the name here. The Marvel, really old Marvel game that we played on the Super Nintendo as well. Captain America and the Avengers Arcade was an old one that I played. And I think it was up to... like two people, and you could choose Captain America, Iron Man, Hawkeye, and was it maybe Cyclops? No, probably not Cyclops, it was Avengers.
But it was like the kind of like 2D side scroller.
Yeah, it was a 2D side scroller one. It was great fun, but like that was all I got from Marvel at the time. Whereas the DC games, even from then, were serious, like big contenders and quite difficult, but like graphically looked amazing. And I think it's kind of done a bit of a flip-flop that the quality has changed over time. But I think talking from my youth, those were two incredibly good games. Yeah. And I'm just looking at the list here just to kind of...
The list is so long. It's actually bonkers.
Spider-Man on the PlayStation 1. Did you ever play it?
Yeah, I did play it like obviously donkeys years ago, but like it was so limited. Like, you know, like web-sling and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but...
Like, really limited.
But I remember... I
remember it fondly.
I have such fond memories because that's the one... I'm just making sure we play the same one. The last boss is Carnage and you're running towards the screen to escape him. Are we thinking about the same?
I don't know if I'm thinking of that one. I'm trying to think of... the one I can remember has a very blocky looking Doc Ock in it. So I might be thinking... Maybe I'm thinking of Spider-Man 2, though. There was a couple in that series.
Yeah, and the Spider-Man 1 had... It was quite... what would you say? It still had the old school whack, smack, wham type thing going on. Yeah. And you collected comic books throughout the thing, which were legitimate comic books that had appeared in the Spider-Man series. And the battles were quite good. But that one was... It was basic, but it was kind of the precursor to what we got on the PlayStation 2, which was the... Spider-Man's the first time we kind of had the open world. And I can even still hear that the Spider-Man on the PlayStation 2, whoever played it a lot, you would hear NPCs calling for help. And there was only so many ways to help, or so many situations that you would help in. But one of them would always be a kid losing his balloon. And I can still hear in my head a kid shouting, "My balloon!" Like, just like constantly all the way around New York, like, you know, or that version of New York. That was great as well. I'm looking at Midnight Suns, which was a Marvel game I recently finished.
That's the strategy one.
Yeah, really enjoyed that. Like, again, didn't take itself too seriously. Bit of a different kind of game. And then looking through this old list as well, I see Ultimate Alliance. Did you ever play any of the Marvel Ultimate Alliance games?
No, I didn't, but I know I've only heard good things
Fucking unbelievable. Yeah. Me and my two brothers played, because it was a four player, up to four people. We played that game. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 was kind of the one that we... would have played to death. But there were so many characters available, like Wolverine, Captain America, like rather than it being Avengers team or an X-Men team, that was kind of everybody. But I would have played as Captain America. My brother would have played as Iron Man. My oldest brother would have played as Iron Man. And my middle brother was a Wolverine player. But there was great combos between certain characters. So, and I think it was put into the Avengers movie that we had. I don't know if you remember in the Avengers movie where they're fighting at the bridge. And it does that kind of, where the camera follows everybody fighting through New York. So you get a glimpse of what everybody's doing at the one. It's a great like pan. But it follows Iron Man and he lands with Captain America. And Captain America holds the shield up. And Iron Man shoots it, and the ricochet Captain America directs at all the enemies. That was a move from Ultimate Alliance. Like, well, probably would have happened in the comics, I'm sure. Yeah, yeah. But it was a special move that you had between these two characters in Ultimate Alliance. But it was just a beat 'em up. You just go through these 3D maps, you're starting A to B, and you're just using your abilities to beat you know, random NPCs and then the occasional boss here and there. Fucking unbelievable fun.
That's what I like a lot about the earlier games that I can remember playing. Like, particularly, I think, like, in the noughties, there was just a huge amount of movie tie-in games. Because it wasn't the MCU had started, but we were starting to get a lot of superhero movies. Like, there was that early Daredevil film.
Oh, yeah.
Or was the Punisher. Elektra,
not the Punisher. Elektra,
all these. Yeah. They were all getting games along with them. As well, like, Blade as well. Wesley Snipes, they had a couple tie-ins as well. And, like, when you go back and look, like, I was looking at some of the gameplay. Obviously, you have to take that with a pinch of salt. It's, like, 2 decades old.
Yeah.
But it's just so simplistic is what it is. You're playing as a character, you know, you're like, and you're just going around baiting the head off everyone.
And it played at the time. It played well.
It was so, so good. But for the movie tie-in games, because there's a real, sometimes the movie, or oftentimes the movie, I always felt was better than the game.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
But the game tended, and one example I can think of is this, was that my brother got me, it's a PlayStation 3 game, Captain America Super Soldier.
That was all right, I think.
Which was based off of, the whole thing was, it was during World War II, of course, and you're trying to take down Zola's lab.
Yeah.
And it's voiced by Chris Evans. So I remember checking it out not long after my brother got it, because he was like, no, it's hard to get. And it's worth a few bob up on eBay because of, like, the superhero movies. There was a certain period where the games reflected the films and still had the cast.
Yeah.
Like, that Green Lantern game, I think, is voiced by Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that's properly him. Yeah.
And the Catwoman game is voiced by Halle Berry and stuff like that.
It's like they had to be done in conjunction. It was like, you got the movie and then you got the game. Like,
yeah.
Like, in time for Christmas.
And they weren't direct copies of the story of the movie, but it was loosely based in what kind of happened.
There'd be some stuff that obviously clearly ties in, but for the most part, it was a new kind of story.
Yeah, yeah. And I loved them. They were great.
Did you ever get to play the X-Men Origins Wolverine one?
No, this is on the list here. I didn't play the Wolverine one because that one was... I've got X-Men Destiny and I have X-Men Legends, which I did play. And there's X-Men Legends 2 Rise of the Apocalypse. Is it any of those ones that you're talking... Oh, X-Men Origins Wolverine. I see it there. Yeah, I see it there.
That was based off of, the Hugh Jackman film. And this is one of the rare occasions... The game is so much better than the movie.
Wolverine Origins is not a good, not a great movie.
But the game's actually deadly.
It's
the game's actually properly good. It's very much on rails. Like, you know, it's quite level based, but like, it's an absolute brawler. I'm pretty sure it was rated 18s, if memory serves correctly.
Mm.
Very violent game, way ahead of its time.
And I think the X-Men Legends games, which is the one that the Origins Wolverine one fell into, I think, were they... Oh, no, sorry. X-Men Origins Wolverine is totally different than the X-Men Legends games, but the Legends ones are precursors to Ultimate Alliance, I think.
Yes.
But it was great, as you said, to get an 18s kind of superhero game was rare.
Yeah, and it fairly follows the story of the movie, and it does that fine, but then it just expands on it. Loads of the levels have nothing to do with the movie whatsoever.
Yeah.
They're brilliant. Yeah. They're absolutely brilliant. It would be one of the few... I would say it's worth going back and playing because it would be clunky enough to today's standard, but it's still played really, really, really well.
Yeah.
So well worth a look.
I think two of my favorite crossovers is one from DC and one from Marvel that I love, and I'll mention the two of them now, but Marvel versus Capcom 2, New 100%. Age of Heroes. And then did you ever play the... I'm just going to get the correct name. Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. Which is basically like both of them were... the Marvel versus Capcom 2 was a brand new brawler. But because Injustice and Mortal Kombat were so similar in style, that was an obvious crossover. Both of them were great.
Yeah, I think they really hold up. And it's fun to see those crossovers come into existence. But I think to this day, like, Marvel versus Capcom 2 is so highly rated.
It's huge. And it was only... it disappeared off... Like, you couldn't get it on any platforms for such a long time. And I think it was announced recently, strangely enough, on a really obscure Switch Direct.
Okay.
Or Nintendo Direct, I should say. Because you thought this would have been maybe they make their own announcement about it that it's come back. But it was just kind of a random bit in a Switch advertisement or Switch or Nintendo Direct where they said, hey, Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is coming back. And of course, on all platforms, not just. But it disappeared off everything. I think it was a licensing issue. And it disappeared, you couldn't play it. But we still had it on our PlayStation 3, which, as you said, it was so good that even now in the PlayStation 5 era, me and my brother would often put the PlayStation 3 back in to give that a bit of a whack. Well. Like.
Yeah, nice that you have that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And still, it's like the PlayStation 3's gas because it's a hulking piece of equipment. Like, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So plugging that in is gas. But Marvel vs. Capcom was great. I think my team, because you have three characters per your team, and I think mine was Captain America, Wolverine, and did I have Ryu? Possibly. I think I had a Capcom character in there.
Mix it up. You wouldn't go all for one.
Well, I mean, sometimes I looked at my team and be like, oh, this isn't right. Like, you know, it's Marvel versus Capcom. But it was cool. They had such a mix and such a great variety of Capcom characters as well in it. But that was a fantastic game. But also, like, the Injustice games are probably, in more recent times, the only, since the Arkham games, that I actually put a bit of time into. I'd be quite into the fighting games, in fairness.
I would say since the Arkham days, the Injustice 2 is probably the best game that's been released on.
They're most successful, yeah,
for sure. And I think there was an Arkham VR game on the Meta Quest 3. The VR apparently is quite good.
Oh yeah,
apparently it's all right. I probably went in a bit too heavy there. Apparently it's decent enough for it. Did a good job of recreating a VR thing, but it's not the same studio that did, like, it's not Rocksteady. So
yeah, it's not going to land the same way.
I don't know why they had to say it was an Arkham. Like, I think, why throw it in there?
Well, I think they did it because they know it's going to sell. And that's the thing as well. It's like, but you're going to ruin your own legacy by doing that kind of thing. I'm just trying to think, do I have anything else on this list, or are we good to wrap up? A weird one to finish on, but I've always enjoyed the Lego games.
Oh, there's so many. Because
they're always just good for a cheap laugh, almost, as well. Did you ever play any of the Marvel or DC Lego games?
Not really, to be honest with you. I've only ever played, like, the Lego Star Wars, and I think randomly The Hobbit. I think they're the two Lego games.
Star Wars, I played through most of the Star Wars ones because the level of comedy in them was great. Like, they're real. But I think the ones that I touched on was Lego Batman, DC superheroes, and then Lego Avengers? Oh, Lego Marvel Superheroes. They were really, like, just classically, like, good Lego games, you know, because I mean they all essentially play the same. It's just the IP that you're getting to enjoy. See, you know,
that's
what I mean?
The thing. I didn't realize how samey a lot of the Lego games were.
Oh my god!
And then I jumped into the new. I think it was The Hobbit, and I was like, well, this is the exact same game as what I just played.
Literally, the only difference is that, like, which sucked me in because I was a big Star Wars fan, so I love the idea that I could go around as with a lightsaber in a Lego game, and it was funny. And then you just maneuver that into the Marvel Superheroes Lego game, and I was like, oh, I just get to play as Lego Captain America who throws a shield. This is a lot of fun. But they were, again, good multiplayer games, good fun. And, like, I mean, I can't exactly congratulate DC for coming up with a great Lego. That's Lego.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's Lego.
It's across the board. They're doing the same thing all the time. But I think that's it. Unless there's anything you want to. Is there anything else on your list or that you.
Do you know, I think I've fairly covered. There's obviously so much more that I haven't even mentioned and or probably forgotten about. But, like, man, I'm just scrolling through this list again. Like, there's like 200 Marvel games. Ridiculous. So, like,
I kind of went for like the top rated.
I thought I played a fair few. And then I'm looking through, I was like, I've probably played about 3%.
And there's probably so much out there that's such tripe as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, these would have been it's easier to do back in the PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2 era. I'm not just saying specifically for that those consoles, but in that time it was so much easier to whack out a game real quick based on a movie or based on whatever else that were just terrible. For the research, I was going to look into, like, some of the worst rated Marvel DC games, but I was like, no, even on modern day, there's enough bad ones. I don't know if I want to go down that road. But yeah, back in then, that you would have had absolute tripe out there. But that's it. Yeah. That's it from us, Marvel versus DC. If any of our listeners have any views or better or worse Marvel or DC games that you played, let us know. The Gifted Gaming Podcast at gmail.com. Myself and KP are going to go on to our post show where we're going to talk about the future of Marvel and DC movies. You didn't know that until I just said that right there, KP. But that's
I do love that topic.
Yeah, that's what we're going to talk on. So if you want to check out what we think is going to happen in the future of the cinematic universes, check out The Gift of Gaming. Patreon.com/The Gift of Gaming Podcast, where you will find all of our stuff for the price of a coffee a month. There's tons of content there, so check it out. KP, thanks so much for stopping by.
My pleasure.
And to our listeners, as always and forever, keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. Peace out.